Good morning, this is Angelique Mansour. I would like to talk about what we call capacity to inherit intestate. Now, capacity is normally related to the ability to be able to inherit. Sometimes they look at the type of person, so they look at the age, they look at there's a lot of things that the law actually looks at before they recognize the person having capacity. And it depends what it's being used for in the legal sense. Okay, in this case, the capacity to inherit intestate, we look at a few types of persons who have the capacity to inherit. And the first one we look at is a natural person may inherit intestate. So, a natural person is a person who is an individual, a legal person like yourself and myself, and we are classified as natural persons. A juristic person is classified as a company, a closed corporation, an association, a trust, a church, a body corporate, and they may not inherit intestate. They do not have the capacity to inherit from an intestate estate. In terms of the Se Intestate Succession Act, only natural persons, irrespective of their age, may inherit or can inherit intestate. The second type of person that has a capacity is we look at extramarital, adulterine, and incestuous children. Now, many years ago, these children were totally disadvantaged because of their status, which was they were born out of wedlock, so they were illegitimate. They were born through adulterous relationships where either the mother or the father had adulterous affairs. And the incestuous children were born of other family members or brother. Normally through molestation or being taken advantage of by a family member sexually. So these children were often disadvantaged because they were excluded from being able to inherit as beneficiaries of an estate of their mother or their father or their grandparents because of their status. And the In the old days, in terms of common law, an extramarital child, which was a child born of wedlock, out of wedlock, can inherit intestate from their mother and her relations only, and not from the father and his relations. So this rule was found impetus in the rather tactless common law maxim, een moeder mag geen bastaard. A woman cannot have an illegitimate child. So, however, this position was altered by sections 1.2 of the Intestate Succession Act, which provided that illegitimacy shall not affect the capacity of one blood relation to inherit the intestate estate of another blood relation. Thus, irrespective of the circumstances under which a child is conceived, any child has the capacity to inherit intestate from both parents and their relations. So, if you look at children who were born illegitimately, from extramarital affairs or adulterine children. This becomes a very contentious issue, especially if nobody knew about the affair or knew about the conception of the child and the birth of the child up until the death of the deceased. And this is normally when these things do come out, unless the deceased actually divorced his wife, or the deceased divorced her husband at the time of the affair. So, normally, what happens is children who are born between two adulterous adults, so both mother and father are having an affair with each other outside of their marriage, and the mother happens to conceive and give birth. Normally, what happens is this birth is often concealed and doesn't come out until deceased of one of the parents, where the child can actually legitimately and legally is in their full right to claim from either parent's estate. So this is where the bad news comes out, and it's not often very pleasant dealing with family members who learn this news about their bastard sister or bastard brother, basically. Okay. So children that are born as a result of artificial fertilization. So artificial fertilization is normally performed between two married persons who are unable to conceive. And this is basically what we call, what do they call it? Petri dish fertilization, literally. So they take the egg and they take the sperm cell and they actually attempt to fertilize the egg in a petri dish. But it's normally the sperm cell from the father, the legitimate father, and the sperm cell from the legitimate mother. There are other forms of fertilization where either the mother is unable to produce a fertilized egg, or the father is unable to produce a sperm cell that will be able to fertilize the egg. So, and that's when there's a form of surrogacy that comes in where, a different party is used to help, fertilize the egg. In situations like that, the person who's actually donating the sperm is not the legitimate father or mother, okay? Or the legitimate egg. They're not the legitimate parent, okay? They are just the donor. So it's very important to understand that any children born under those circumstances, it's normally the mother and the father who go through this process together. Irrespective of whether there's a donor or irrespective of whether it's their own egg or own sperm fertilizing the egg, it is those two people that are classified as the legal parents of that child that is conceived. So, sections 1.2 of the Intestate Succession Act, which is subject to provisions of sections 5.2 of the Children's Status Act, was repealed by Section 40 of the Children's Act. Now, Section 40 of the Children's Act deals mostly with artificial fertilization, also known as artificial insemination. And the reason why it's called artificial is because it doesn't happen naturally. There is human intervention to try and attempt to get it to be fertilization or insemination occurs. So, if a child is determined to be extramarital after applying the provision of Section 40 of the Children's Act, he or she will only inherit from the birth mother of her relation. If the child is determined to be legitimate, the child will inherit from his or her birth mother, including from her spouse at the time of the artificial insemination and their irrespective relation. So, resurgence of common law position in the case of artificial insemination is a consequence of special conditions under which the artificial insemination occurs. So, the third type of person, or the third type of natural person that is allowed to or has capacity to inherit intestate is children that are born of surrogacy arrangements. So historically, surrogacy arrangements or surrogate motherhood were regarded as contrary to public policy. However, on the recommendation of South African Law Commission, surrogacy arrangements are now recognised in Chapter 19 of the Children's Act. So, if relevant parties entered into a valid surrogacy arrangement, the child is considered to be the legitimate child of his or her commissioning parents and thus will inherit intestate from them or their relations. Okay. So, normally, how this would work is say there's a girl who wants to have a baby and she has a friend who also wants to have a baby, but he doesn't really want to get married. They come up with a surrogacy agreement that both of them will be the parents of that child, even though they're not married to each other. So if the agreement is defective or rescinded by the court, the child born will be considered to be the child of the surrogate mother only and will only inherit from the mother's estate and her relations. Okay. And the second last one we look at is adopted children. So in terms of sections 1.4E of the Intestate Succession Act, an adopted child is deemed to be a descendant of his or her adoptive parents and not a descendant of his or her natural parents. Except in the case where one of the natural parents is also the adoptive parent of their child at the time of the adoption marriage to the child's adoptive parent. So, sections 1.5 provides that an adoptive parent shall be deemed to be the ancestor of the adopted child. What this means, in effect, is that an adoption terminates all the rights and obligations that may have existed between the child's natural parents and the child that was placed for adoption. So, for purposes of an intestate succession, once a child is adopted, he or she is regarded as the child of the adopted parents and will thus inherit from the adoptive parents as a biological descendant. The child will also inherit from the adoptive parents' relations as if they were their biologic relation. Unborn children, also known falls under what we call the nascitur iuris fixum. These are children who have the capacity to inherit. They are unborn, so they are conceived but not yet born. And we look at the detail of that quickly. So nasciturus is known as the unborn. It's a Latin term for unborn. Under South African law, our and with our Roman Dutch law inheritance or heritage, sorry, we recognize that the unborn child, which is referred to as nasciturus, is capable of inheriting under specific circumstances. The fixation applies at the time between conception and the time of being born alive. So the fixation is classified as the part where the mother is carrying the child before the child is born alive. And we call it a fiction because it's not yet a reality. The only time that child is seen as a reality is when it is born from the mother's womb and it is alive. Then it is classified as a reality. Until that time, it is classified as a fiction. Now, obviously, from a moral, ethical, religious point of view, there has been many controversial arguments about a fetus. However, in South African law, this is the law that we abide by. So a child must have been conceived at the time of the devolution of the benefit. Secondly, the inheritance has to be to the advantage of the unborn child. And thirdly, the child has to be subsequently born alive. So the very last requirement is actually the most important requirement. The mere conception of a nasciturus or unborn is no automatic guarantee that he or she will actually be able to or have the capacity to inherit. When the fiction becomes a reality, which is the necessity for the nasciturus to be born alive, even if the nasciturus is only born for 1 second, even if it takes a breath from the mother's womb, takes a breath and passes away, it is classified as being born alive. So, for instance, if a child is miscarried, aborted, or stillborn, he or she will obviously inherit nothing because the child was not born alive. The intestate inheritance, if we look at some court cases, and the most important one was Harris versus Assumed Administrator Estate, McGregor. An intestate inheritance usually devolves on the death of the deceased. Excuse me. So therefore, as long as a nasceturist is conceived at the time of the deceased's death and is subsequently born alive, he or she will inherit his or her intestate share. If the nasceturist survives momentarily after birth and then dies, he or she will be considered to have been born alive and is therefore capable of inheriting intestate. The inheritance that he or she would have received will be transmissible to his or her own intestate heirs. So, and that's basically the capacity to inherit intestate. Next, we will look at the capacity to inherit testate. Thank you. Have a nice day.